Good morning, good morning, and good morning, and welcome to yet another episode of Popping Off with Phil. And Happy New Year, co-host. It's a new year. It is 2022. I hope that everyone had a wonderful, wonderful holiday. I know that the holiday can be challenging for many of us for many different reasons, but like I said in the podcast before, I really, really focused on reclaiming my holiday for me this year. It's been tough, but I think I did a really good job. Spent some time with the family, got a chance to spend some time here at the manor. And so things are good. So I'm excited to be back with you guys. I have also decided that I'm going to take some of the pressure off of myself in 2022 in terms of the podcast and just kind of go with the flow. So in keeping with that, today we're going to have a guest. Not really a guest. It's a co-host, just like you. But they are actually live on the show. It's my really, really good friend, Gary, who I affectionately call Smacks. Y'all can't call him that, though. That's what I call him. But anyway, he's here, and I'm excited to have him here. Just so you, I give you a little background, because I'm sure I've mentioned Gary's name before. Gary and I met in the earlier part of 2018. We have a mutual friend. And the first time we met, we had a really, really organic connection and spoke for hours, up way later than you know I have the ability to hang. But while I was there, I had this idea about a podcast. And I don't know if Gary remembers this, but we were sitting down and we were kind of charting ideas and what we wanted to talk about and different names. And I'm pretty confident, I'm pretty sure in my remembrance that Gary is the person who came up with Popping Up with Phil. I think that was his thing. I mean, there was a list of things, but that's the one that really resonated with me. So it's really full circle to have him here today, and I'm really, really excited. We are going to talk about the new year. So as you know, maybe back in 2018, I did a podcast that said New Year's is today, bitch. And it was really just to get people to get focused about, you know, not putting things off. Like, the new year is great, and we are grateful to arrive at a new year, because many of us did make it, but I'm one of the ones that did. You know, that's how the song goes. But you know, it doesn't mean that you have to put off all of those things that you've been thinking about, you know, whether it is starting something new or getting rid of them, no, whatever it is, you can do that today. And I was on Facebook, on Instagram, I believe Instagram, and Gary had posted a little bit about how he was readying himself for the new year. And I just thought it was in line and step with what we're talking about and how apropos it, the January is almost over. So we are right in line with how things should be of not putting pressure on ourselves about the new year. And so Gary is here. Gary, say hi to the people.
What's up, audience?
Thank you for having me. Oh, I'm so glad that we were able to work out our scheduling conflicts so that we can make this happen.
Yeah, audience is so used to just you. So I really appreciate you for letting me come in and give my little thoughts.
You know what? And you know, sometimes I think that they're sick of hearing just me, you know, and my opinions, you know. So it's good to have someone else to come in who, you know, I bring people on that I think that other people can connect with, but also that people who are a bit of an authority in a way. And I feel like you're an authority about certain things, especially when it comes to being centered and being grounded and really, I guess, giving credence to that spiritual, mental, physical connection. You oftentimes are doing things and saying things on your podcast, not on your podcast. See, I'm speaking things into existence. Maybe it's time. No, but you're posting things and they're good. And, you know, I can't capture everything. You know, sometimes you see stuff and you're like, oh my goodness, I really need to talk about this. And it just doesn't happen. But this was a great time. So just because they're tired of hearing me, tell us a little bit about, you know, what I really want to know is, when did you shed the idea about New Year's resolutions and this whole New Year, New Me, January 1 is when I'm going to hit the ground running, doing all of these things? Like, what clicked for you that said, this is some bullshit. I don't want to do this no more. It's too much pressure.
Well, first of all, let me say, Phil is talking about, I'm not going to tell the name that I call you. He calls me Smacks, but I'm not going to tell your
it's
audience.
It's fine. That's none of their business.
It's none of their business. But I will say, he's talking, referring to a video that I posted. And if you don't follow me, please go. It's Gary Stallings Jr. It's my whole name. So
whole government.
Stallings Jr. is my Instagram handle. But I think it's been like, it's been a process. I don't think it happened overnight. I think, you know, anyone who has any kind of relationship with the divine or any kind of like spiritual practice, they realize they go through a lot of stuff throughout the year. Like things are constantly unfolding, things are constantly happening. And I realize when, you know, the new year would start coming around, I'm like, but I'm already doing this, or like, I'm already like in process of things that are slowly being uncovered. And so when people ask, what are you doing? I'm like, what I've been doing, or, you know, like, right. But yeah. And so it just slowly but surely happened. And so I grew up like just in a, I grew up around people, and it's just so frantic. The culture is so frantic around the new year. And I just wish that I started thinking like, what if we just started doing what we know we should already be doing? It's not like some sort of like new thought. It's just like, we just need to hear it or reinforce it and be reminded of it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So I guess, so you said this happened over time.
Yeah.
So was there a time in your life where you were, I guess, what's the word I want to say?
Yes.
No. You felt confined. I guess that's a good word. Like you felt it necessary to say, this is my new year and these are all of the things that I plan on accomplishing this year.
Yeah. I think, you know, when I was practicing Christianity in its more traditional form, I think that it just naturally happened that way, right? I was always at a watch night service. And even in like church culture and church environment, it's like, what are you going to do for the new year? And God is doing this year and like all that stuff. And that's not to discount like those experiences, because I think they're still important and culturally relevant. But I think when I started practicing things a bit differently, I realized I was like, so much of that that was going on just didn't align with my life at the time. And so then what do? Like when I'm living my life and that stuff isn't really aligning. But yeah, when I was practicing Christianity in a way and I'm really involved in like church culture, it just felt like I had to be setting up things to do and not, I need to do the Daniel fast. I need to do all this like stuff at the beginning of the year. And it just created like this sort of thing in me. I realized it was like failure culture. And so it wasn't healthy for me to come up with all this stuff to do and then fail at it and feel miserable and bad about myself. And so that was the first step in sort of like, okay, we have to look at this a bit differently.
Ah, so it seems like your divorce your divorce from this whole concept of new year, new me resolution really is in alignment with your growth spiritual.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right, that makes a good point. No, I think that, you know, I'm a Christian, you know, yeah. And I grew up in the church and I still practice what I would say to a certain extent religion, you know, yeah, for lack of a better word. I do have a lot of friends who have found themselves drifting from the practice of religion. Has nothing to do with their spirituality, has nothing to do with their connection with the divine.
Yeah.
Which, of course, now we know that people are evolving because we don't call them God no more. Now it's the divine and it's all of these other things.
All to the reference names.
Him. All of the names, you know, the universe and earth or whatever the case is, which really bothers those old time Christians. It's like, no, his name is God and it's Jesus. But
did it bother you?
It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. I've learned to be cognizant of it because I don't ever want people to think that I am dismissive of the role that Christ and God play in my life.
Absolutely.
Just because I say, because I actually have an audience of people who probably subscribe to something that's a little vast.
Yeah.
You know, that's bigger than just church per se. Right. You know what I'm saying? And more particularly Baptist religion. But I think that as we grow and we change and we evolve, we do begin to, you know, make some alterations to how we deal with things. And it's not a discredit or a discount to how we were brought up, because, you know, obviously we can never get away from God. Obviously, those of us who love him, we can never get away from him. I guess there are some other people who probably could, but I just think that there is a lot of pressure for perfection, and it doesn't help me in terms of my personality type, which is a perfectionist. And like you said, like, oh, January 1st is going to be the day. And then January 1st through the 15th, everything's good. And then the 16th, something happens. And you can't do what it is that you said you were going to do every single day. And now it's all gone to hell. And so you're like, well, I guess I'll start again on February 1st. Because there's this concept that we can't just pick up where we left off. I'm learning this because I'm on the Bible app like everybody else. And I've been trying to read the Bible 365 days of the year for the last 365 years of my life. And so what will happen is I'll start a process and I miss a day for whatever reason. And then it's like, oh, it's all to hell. You know what I'm saying? And then before you know it, you know, the Bible app has this really great feature, which is probably the worst feature it could have, called catch up days. And what ends up happening is you end up catch up days. And before you know it, it's like you've missed 4 days and now you catch it up. It's a mess. So what was supposed to be 365 days ends up being, I'm actually not going to finish reading the Bible in entirety until June of 2023 because I've catched up all these days. And then you feel the pressure. You're like, I failed, you know, and it's the same thing with our health. It's the same thing with our relationships. How many of us have said, you know, new year, I ain't gonna deal with this nigga. New year, I ain't gonna deal with this person. But that means that you are really gonna deal with this nigga for the next 3 months, knowing that it ain't going nowhere. So what's the point of that? You know what I'm saying? I'm miserable. It's already the holiday season and I'm just going to wait to January 1st. And then it's like, I'm going to start all over. And it's ridiculous. And I really just want us to get away from that because I think that we do, honestly, and you can speak to this from experience, I think that we do ourselves a great disservice and more damage staying in things, sticking with things that don't serve us, that don't heal us, that don't help us, that don't encourage us, all because we feel like we need to get a clean slate on a particular day or time.
Yeah.
And I know for me personally, some of the worst choices I've made is holding shit off until like the first of, or the Monday before, or the Sunday after.
Yeah, I think we, our culture is so good at getting rid of things and not dealing with things. We love a moment where we can say, this is over, this is new. But unless you deal with the thing, it's still going to be very much so, you know, present in your life. And I think that we've done that with New Year's. It's like been an escape route. Like some kind of magic trick happens, I found when I talk to people. It's like, and at midnight, it all changes. It's like, no, if you had bad credit, the credit score doesn't change on January 1st. Like,
right,
Mr.
right.
Chocolate, there's going to be some work that you have to do.
Absolutely.
For that credit score to change. And I think it's so interesting. We think about our spiritual lives. It's like, it's not going anywhere. Like the stuff that we've been dealing with, you have to deal with it the moment you get it. Like to go back to your point about, you know, the Bible app, you know, we get involved in a lot of these external actions, right? External. Don't do this, don't do that, right? And I think when I started understanding what is the principle that I'm just missing in my life, right? And I think the baseline of it is commitment. I have a commitment issue, like, right? And so I have a commitment issue to need to stop eating after a certain time. Like, but that kind of stuff, I think we should, I wish we would focus more on the principle of things instead of like the actual action, because then we can, the behavior will naturally change. Like I had a commitment issue. You know, I used to be like grossly overweight. And I remember I didn't wait to the new year to do it. I remember it was like the summer of 2009. And I was like, I gotta change this today. Like this has to happen like right now. So by the time that new year came, I was like already enacting the principles. It wasn't about losing weight. It was about, let's just keep going. Let's just keep doing. Mm-hmm. But I had to really dig down and figure out what the principles were that I was missing. And I think a lot of us are doing that. Most of us committed to niggas we shouldn't be committed to. Yeah. We're not committed to bettering ourselves. So those patterns will continue if you don't like hit them on the head when they come up.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, the people are not principled. I think that's a word. That the people are not principled. But there's definitely value in what you're saying, because I do believe that you're right. We oftentimes don't get to the root of the issue, or as the old folks would say, the root. We don't get to the root of it. Yeah. We don't get to the root of the issue. And so if you don't get, if all you're doing is pulling weeds up at the surface, then those weeds continue to grow. And so if you haven't gotten to, like, for you, you was like, I have a commitment issue. It's much deeper than the food. I can't commit to making the right choices.
Yes.
At all. So that's the problem. You know what I'm saying? Problem. Everything else is really just the byproduct because I need to get to it. So I think that's a good lesson. Are you listening, people? Are you taking notes? You need to get to the root of the issue so that once you get to the root of the issue, then you can begin to develop, you know, whatever it is you need to develop to kind of, you know, get rid of whatever that problem is. So you brought up niggas. And so since we're here, I guess we should talk. No, I'm just
Niggas,
child, because the niggas will nig, and I've said this constantly, so I want people to understand that it's true. The niggas will continue to nig as long as you allow them to nig. So,
thing though, I mean, what I've learned, if it's not money that we're dealing with, it's men, right? It's like one or the other. The M&M is what, you know, is sort of what I call it. So what were you about to say though? It's just very interesting. Like most of
we can land right here. Let's talk about the M&M.
The M&M, like most of our issues, especially in my 30s, like I'm learning, I'm like, everything is associated with getting my life together financially and in thinking or imagining or trying to figure out what partnership or all of this looks like, right? Mm-hmm. And those are two of the things, right, that people put in New Year's resolutions and New Year's goals. I'ma find a husband, or I'ma get, you know, start saving, like all of this stuff that at its core has some principles associated with it. But we always talking about the M&M, and I'm just like,
wow,
yeah,
I like that. That's very creative. See, look at you, and that is why you're in marketing. Because you think of these things. I never would have thought about that. I mean, because I normally, men and money are definitely two things that people are, you know, are high, are extremely high on the New Year resolution list. Close second would probably be fitness.
Yes.
Because I always, it's funny because I always see the post about the people who, what I call gym rats, you know, people who are going to be in the gym every day, every hour, you know. I'll be seeing people post like, ooh, two a day, and I'm like, nigga, but whatever, you know, whatever floats your boat, it don't float mine.
Wear me out thin.
But you know, the first 6 weeks of the year is nothing but them niggas complaining about how they can't get on no machine and ain't no weights and there's too many people in the gym and how they can't wait until March rolls around, maybe February. They was like, you know, by the Super Bowl, these niggas will be out of here and they'll be out of my way and I won't have to worry about it anymore. But that M&M, that's really good, Gary.
Yeah, it just seems to be coming up. I know every therapist is talking about it. Everybody's talking about, you know, these two things that are, you know, take up a lot of time in our lives. And so I wish we would give more attention to things throughout the year instead of waiting for like the end of the year to do it. Because I think if every day we have a thought or something comes up or spirit is like guiding us to do something in those two areas that we don't do, and we spend so much time complaining about it and moving it out of the way, and then we think some grand thing is supposed to happen. It's like, no, you know what you were supposed to be doing. And this is what I was saying, you know, in the video, there's stuff that's been knocking at our doors daily.
Right.
Stuff that's been calling at us and saying, do this, don't do that. And I'm like, so what do you do with that stuff? Like, because if you're not doing anything with it now, next year it's not going anywhere. You can go make up a new goal if you want to, but it's still going to come back and constantly knock at your door and ask you, what you going to do with me?
Right. Yeah. I'm still here. I'm still on the shelf. I need help. What's going on? You brought up an interesting point about therapy. So what role has therapy played for you in kind of getting away from this idea of new year, new me? Because this is what I want to get rid of, because I'm tired of the phrase. You know how you just get tired of certain things?
Yes.
You know, like everybody was talking about how they wanted things to die in the new year. So I know somebody was saying, it's for me, I want that to die in 2022. Like, I don't ever want to hear that phrase again. Because everybody was like, you know, it's the shirt for me, or it's the look for me. And people's like, I'm so tired of this shit. Like, so I want to get rid of new year, new me, because people, it's a new year, but you the same nigga. It be the same nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, and if you are a new nigga, you are a new nigga for approximately 15 days by King Day. You are no longer a new nigga. You are the same old nigga. And so I want to get rid of that phrase. So in terms of therapy, did therapy play any role in addition to, you know, obviously a different connection with you spiritually, did therapy in any way play a role to, you know, moving away from this whole concept of it's got to be this day and this time in order to start anew?
No, it did not, actually. Okay. I've actually never seen a therapist.
Really? Oh, dear.
I never have.
And don't say that on here. Listen.
No, and I think it's important to be honest with people about that, because I think so many of us, that's another train, not a bad train that everyone's hopped on, but it is a train that everybody says, I go to therapy, I do this, and you, a lot of niggas still go to therapy and still do the same crazy shit that they've been doing all along. And I'm like, you need to change your therapist. So never mind, that's a different story.
You speaking good. Ain't no need to go to the doctor if you gonna not listen to the doctor's orders.
And
that is a thing. That is a thing.
People, that's a whole nother, you know, it's still the same principle. Like, you go to therapy all year, your therapist is revealing things to you and uncovering things for you. And it's like, so what are you doing with all them therapy sessions throughout the year? Like, where's the decision making in those type of things? But it didn't happen for me through therapy. I think it just happened through natural unfoldment. And to go back, like, to something that means something to me, like a Christian principle or idea, when we talk about the new year, my thing is, we have new mercies every single day. And so the principle is, every day you can wake up and make a different decision and determine something different for your life. And I think we wait for pivotal moments or big moments, but every day is a new moment. And I think that we get so like caught up in like the monotony of gotta get up, gotta go to work. It is a beautiful experience, Phil, to go to sleep, wake up daily, and like be able-bodied, sound-minded, and able to make a different choice and experience for your life. Like, and we discount that particular experience so much for 365 days. And it's like, you can literally make a different choice every day. You can literally determine something for your life every day. And I think we miss those moments. Therapy is great, but I do think there is a component to us that has to like really just look at the small things that are happening in our lives and make those decisions.
You know, it's so funny because it brings about something. So Steven and I, our mutual friend, friend to the show, co-host, hey Boothie, we used to do daily prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And it went because lives change. You know, that's the thing. When you look at a friendship, and I'm actually going to have Steven on, we were talking about this the other night, to actually talk about friendship and its development and its evolution over years, because people change, and you could be really, really close with somebody for a very, very long time, and then all of a sudden, y'all niggas ain't got nothing in common. You're like, what happened? But we said we're gonna actually have a conversation about friendship. And it, when you said that, it made me think that, you know, when I first started my job almost 14 years ago, I used to have, like, I would call Steven every day on my lunch break. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just like, I would take lunch at 1 o'clock, and that would be, or noon, or whatever the kind of time was. And we would literally just talk. Like, he was available during that time. I would do it. Obviously, I wasn't doing any fucking work because I was on the company phone just talking to him. But, you know, then we was like, we're going to start doing daily prayer because we need it. And so prayer, we would try to call each other, and then she went away. And then it was like, we would send niggas email prayers like, dear Lord, in writing. but we talked about those things that are big, but we treat small. And when you said that waking up every morning, like, we get up every morning, like, it's no big thing. There are literally people who laid down just last night who did not get up this morning. You know what I'm saying? That we are
in this current culture, right?
That we are fully aware of. You know what I'm saying? 2022 has been showing her ass. Somebody new died every day. And it's unexpected. It's a surprise. You know what I'm saying? So it's those small things that we don't give enough credit and credence to, the fact that we do wake up every morning, the fact that we do have what, you know, what the old saints would say, a reasonable, I still don't know the definition of a reasonable portion of health and strength, but the fact that we have a reasonable portion of health and strength, that we are sound mind, which is also something we take for granted, which I've become very privy to, because I've come in close proximity of people who do not have sound mind. And I got a sound mind. I've always got a sound mind, as far as I know. I don't think I'm too crazy. I guess I'm regular crazy. You know what I'm saying? But I, you know, the thing about therapy is, this is what I tell people, because I've had this conversation about therapy. I always talk about therapy. I need to have a therapist on the show. I'm lazy. In 2022, we're going to make it happen. But because I don't think they just need to hear from me. I think they need to hear from a therapist.
Yeah.
But people go to therapy thinking that the therapist is going to do the work. And I think that that's the reason why a lot of people fail, for lack of a better word, at therapy. Because they say, this is my problem, solve it. And that's not what the therapist is there for. The therapist is there to give you tools to work through your own problems. You know what I'm saying? They're to help. They're there to kind of help you and guide you to acknowledge those things that you may not have thought were problems. Because we all go to therapy. I don't know anybody who hasn't. We all go to therapy saying, I'm here for this reason. In your first session, which is normally intake, it's free. It's a consultation. You sit down, you talk. Yeah. You say, I'm here for this particular reason. I started therapy when I was 25 years old. And you want to hear the very shallow reason why I started therapy? I started therapy because I said, I am going to be 30 in 5 years. And my life's a mess. It's in shambles. Nothing that I'm not married. I don't have children. I don't have a house. I'm not working. I'm not my dream job. I went back to school. I did all these things. And none of this has come to fruition. And that's why I'm in therapy. And she was like, why are you really here? And I was like, this is why I'm here. And within the first 20 minutes, we were like, this is not why you're here. You got other problems that are much deeper than this. And the whole goal is to get you to the place where you recognize that there are other quantifying things that happened in your life that shaped you in a way that you weren't aware of, that we need to figure out, because those are the things that are kind of driving why you aren't, or why you are doing certain things. And that's kind of what the lesson is. So I'm an advocate for therapy because I believe that it's a good process. Also because I believe that as gay Black men, which is the majority of my audience, or those individuals who are queer, we the ones who need therapy the most, because we have, and it's honestly no fault of our own. It's just all of the things that we've had to shoulder and deal with and process as people. Like, one of the greatest things, that the aha moment for me, was I've hated myself for the majority of my life. Because, not because I really hated myself, but because I was taught that I should, because I'm queer, or I'm this, or I'm that. And these are all things that you shouldn't be. And ultimately, you're these things because you made a choice. I don't know when I made this autonomous choice for myself, but I made this choice. And so you're in that space where you're trying to fight that. And it takes a while to get to a place where you're like, I fucking love me. All of me. The ugly parts, even the fat parts, even the parts that eat after 9. They shouldn't be. Even the parts that know that they're lactose intolerant and still eats
ice cream. What?
You know, all of those parts. I love all parts of me. But it took a while to get to the place where, like, I really genuinely love who the fuck I am. And the work that it took for me to get to this particular place. And that is void of anybody's new year.
And that's what can we double stamp on that? And I think the audience needs to hear it. I need to hear it. That didn't happen in a year.
No.
You come in and arriving to a place of loving yourself. And hell, for some of us, that's a daily journey.
Absolutely.
But arriving at that place and that process took a minute. It took years. It took time. And so this is why I think it's important that we understand you have to do your own work and understand your own process.
Right.
And I think if we're looking at, especially when you have social media and so much going on now, where we're comparing ourselves to everything and everything everybody has going on, you know, it becomes almost insufferable. Like, people out here really struggling with their own lives because they're looking at other people and how they're processing it. Your process just may look different than somebody else's. Right. Your process, I remember when I moved to DC and I saw all these out queer gay people, and I was like, where the hell they do that at? Like, where does this actually happen? But it didn't happen instantly. But over my time there, I started feeling more free. I started really doing my work and uncovering why I didn't love, like, certain aspects of myself. And so, but I really literally just took my own process. And that's what I would tell anybody. Do your own process, do your own work. And here's the thing. If you start something today, you might not see it till next year. You might not see it till a year to come, you know? And if anything, spirit doesn't work in timing in that way. if we really want to like sit in like this idea of time, like it's like, no, stuff is being uncovered and moving all the time. You have to know, oh, it's just not time for that right now. Let me put that here. Let me work on this. So I'm glad you brought that point, because I think we need to double stamp on your process, your work, not right. anyone else's.
You know what? It's funny because we've talked about this. I got really great friends and I'm so fortunate. You know, that's one of those things that, you know, it doesn't matter how good of a person you are, how much money you have, none of that determines how great your friendships will be. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so I've always had friends who have supported whatever wild, crazy goose chase I've been on. I've been on a few, you know, this podcast being one of them. but, you know, just having those people in your life that says, you know, it's okay that our journeys are different. Our journeys are so individual.
Yeah.
You know, and we arrive at different places at different time. I remember being, you know, I didn't go to graduate school right away. And I had a lot of friends who did. And so I was like, fuck, I'm the dumb one. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was literally my mindset. Like, I'm behind the curve.
Yeah.
And then you have a conversation with those same people and they was like, but nigga, you had money and we was poor. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could actually afford to come visit us. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could send us gifts, you know, because you had a job. And I never looked at it from that perspective. I looked at it as like, all of my friends have achieved this thing that I have not achieved. You know what I'm saying? Which is part of the reason why, it's always this internal competition, whether or not you say it or not, you know what I'm saying? And I say this because I was listening to the podcast that I did back in 2018. It's so interesting to hear the growth when you listen to, you know, this is my diet. I don't journal because I fucking hate writing. It's not one of my favorite pastimes. I can write. I just don't like to write. I only write when I write my angry white woman letters because I need some shit done. And I realize that that's a process that gets things done when you be like, listen, I paid this and I want this done. But other than that, I don't really like to write. So my podcast is my journal.
Yeah.
And I don't often go back and listen to it. I was just like, I literally don't listen to podcasts. I literally record a podcast and post it. And that's my own process because I know that I'm a perfectionist. And if I didn't do that in that way, then I would always find a reason not to post, which is the reason why it took me so long to actually start it in the first place, because I sat on my bed and I recorded something. I was like, I hate the way I sound. And I was just focusing too much on shit that doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't really affect the people. Like, nobody has ever come back and be like, you sound this or you sound that. What I hear all the time is, you have such a soothing voice. I love listening to your voice, which is really weird because I've been taught to think that there's an issue with my voice because my timbre's higher.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are like, you know, you sound like a girl. You sound like a white woman. All of those things. So it's just interesting. And I went on a tangent and I lost it. I need to get back to it.
God, you are fine. You're talking about your own personal journey and what that looked like for you.
Right.
We have something, you know, in common. I think for even myself, it's been a journey, like recording myself on video and publishing. I'm putting stuff like out on the internet because I'm like, I don't want to appear like some self-help guru. I don't want to appear like I have all the answers. But people, there seems to be a lot of love and positive, you know, reinforcement around like when I share. And so, but that's been a journey for me years, like not wanting to be seen and just sort of want to be in the background on things. And so I'm currently in the middle of that process.
Okay.
January 1st didn't change like, oh, like now I'm just going to be in front. It's like, no, it's processes to this. So it's like, yeah, I do need to sit and think about this and recording more and doing this more. But those are processes to the underlying issue that nigga just don't want to be seen. Like I just, you know, been back. But it's just further proof in my point that this stuff, and our point, I think, that this stuff is a process. And we need to give ourselves some grace when we're going through these processes. And we don't talk enough about this enough, I don't think. I think we just talk about this like success-failure thing.
Right.
I'm a Pisces with a Cancer moon. So I love...
A mess. You're a mess, honey.
I'm such a mess. But I love failure. Like... One of the things that, and I don't even call it failure anymore. I call it like learning lessons, but I've realized like I thrive in navigating difficult like circumstances, especially like emotional and things like that. Most people don't, but I've really found like one of my strengths like is I can really navigate it. Like I love trying to figure it out. I love like being able to meditate and pray about it, asking for guidance in that way. But I'm always looking for the lesson and like whatever I'm going through. Process.
Yeah.
Process. All of this stuff is a process. And I just wish we would be a little bit more gracious with ourselves when,
you know what? I've talked a lot about grace last year. I talked a lot about grace last year because I realized that I didn't offer myself any. I had a lot of grace for other people, a lot of grace for other people's circumstances and their situations, but I had no grace for myself. I was, and we're always harder on ourselves than we are on anybody else. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'll congratulate you, and in the same breath, I'll be like, but I could do better. You know what I'm saying? Like, I won't do that. And my therapist has actually challenged me, you know, when certain things happen. She was like, so how are we going to celebrate? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we going to do to celebrate? Because I'm one of the type of persons like, well, you know, it ain't no big deal. And she's like, but it is a big deal. You know, she's the person who said, being a homeowner is an accomplishment. It's not just something you check off a list. It's not just, you know, I always thought about home ownership as that necessary evil of adulthood. Like at some point in time, I got to be grown and buy a house. I never looked at it as an accomplishment. And she really drove home, this is a big fucking deal.
Huge.
You know, like, you know, toast that shit up. You know what I'm saying? Like, have a good time, invite folks up. I still haven't had a housewarming yet. You know, all those things. But that's the Virgo.
Oh, it's a beautiful home, by the way.
I've actually He has been a visitor at the manor. He's been a visitor. So he knows. But and there's more things here now. Since I actually have furniture now, so like not just the bed downstairs, there's a couch you can sit on and watch the television, not sit on the floor. So God is good. But you know, she just really driving home that importance of celebrating yourself. And with my other best friend, I have a lot of best friends, so we're not going to get into that tonight. We don't have that type of time. My other best friend John, who actually has been on the show, we were talking about different things, and he talked about grace, and I've really drove home on that because we don't extend ourselves grace enough. You know what I'm saying? We don't. We can forgive everybody else. We can give everybody else a second chance, but we are literally, we're very humdrum and very, you know, get thee to the nunnery for ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Like there's no real retribution. There's no real rescue. And that's a bad habit, one that we have to break. But I think it all kind of, you know, it's cyclical, and it drives home the point of all of these things happen over time.
Yes.
And we have to give ourselves and allow ourselves time to learn and to grow and to develop, and that's okay. And it don't happen at 30, because I'm almost 37. It don't happen at 30. And the perfect life that I thought that I was going to have at 30, or I thought somebody told me, I remember my therapist saying, who told you that things were supposed to be this way at 30? Like, who made that up? And I was I was like, they, you know, the famous they is in charge of everything. They, and we still don't know who the fuck they are, but they determines when you are supposed to finish school, when you're supposed to be married, when you're supposed to have kids, when you're supposed to make your first $100,000, when you're supposed to, they determines everything, and we don't know who they are. We don't know if they have accomplished any of the things that they say we should have by a certain time, but they guides us.
They told you new year, new me.
They told me new, which is bullshit. And that is why I want to free the people. And I wanted someone who understands that to be on here with me so we can free the people and let them know that new year, new me is very cliche. And it's a lot of word, no practice. And we want to get rid of that in the new year.
And so here it is, you know, we've talked a lot about process and things like that. And here goes my marketer coming out. Not new year, new me, but how about new day, new way?
Yeah. Okay.
So how about each day you make a commitment, we make a commitment to ourselves to do something differently that we've never done before.
Okay.
And so take it day by day, one step at a time. Because when we look at this sort of monster of 365 days, that shit feels overwhelming. I know for me personally.
It is overwhelming. I agree.
One thing that I've really put into practice is one day at a time. And that's in dating. That's in anything that I have going on, is one day at a time. Because when we get so concerned with down the road, we're missing the lessons. We're missing everything that we're supposed to be uncovering in that day. We're missing it. Mm-hmm. New day, new way. Change something each day. Focus on your day. I've felt more successful daily than I've thought about my whole year, because I'm constantly focusing on what can I do to make myself happy today? What can I do different today? Like, what is my body saying to me today? Like, and when you take it as a daily thing, you'll look up and in a month, you've changed and shaken up so much shit. Like, you've done research, like,
right.
Maybe I should try a green smoothie at one. Like, it's all this stuff that begins to happen when you start focusing on daily routine, daily activities, instead of these long-term things, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. You know, they say it only takes 21 days to make something a habit.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I get a lot of compliments on my, this is so random, but I get a lot of compliments on my teeth. Mm-hmm. People are like, oh, you have such nice teeth. And not just the way that they look. When I go to the dentist, the mm-hmm. hygienist is like, you have some beautiful teeth. You know, it's literally like the dentist comes in and they're like, yeah, well, you know, just so you can feel like you got your money's worth, let me just, you know, look in here. You know, there's nothing going on. But I'm a horrible flosser, which is a very essential part. And some of it I realize is just genes. I had parents who had good teeth.
Good teeth. Yeah.
Some people just don't have good teeth. It's the same thing with skin. I have parents who have good skin. So when people are like, what's your skin routine? I don't have one. I don't have no special creams. I use different products. Some days I don't even wash my face. You know what I'm saying? Like, it don't matter. It doesn't.
I have some beautiful ass skin though. Sorry.
God bless you. God,
yeah, you can have some really good skin. Some of us have to work at this.
I understand. But listen, the people can't see you, and that's not important, but the people can't see you, but your skin is glowing. So whatever you're doing is working. Continue to do such things.
Right.
But I was just saying to say that I literally, after I went to a dentist the last time, because this is the thing. I don't know if other people do this, but I do this. Right before I get ready to go to the dentist, like the week before, I start flossing religiously. Mm. Like that's going to account for the 5.5 months where I didn't floss. I floss religiously the week before I go to the dentist, because in my mind, I'm like, if I can minimize the amount of blood when they're, you know, they're like cleaning my teeth and doing the suction, I'm like, I've done something. So that's how I grade it. And the last time I went to the dentist, she was like, you have some beautiful teeth. And there's this myth that you can't maintain your teeth your entire life. And they're like, that's a myth. Yeah. You can have the teeth that you were born with. Well, I guess not born with, because you lose your baby teeth. But the point I'm trying to make is you can have your adult teeth your entire adult life. You don't have to be 90 years old with partials if you've done the right things. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, you don't have to be. And she was like, you just need to floss more. And so I made this decision. I was like, I am going to make a habit out of flossing every day. And because I'm a Virgo and I'm very, you know, pattern oriented and different things like that.
Yeah.
I try not to think about it, but I literally have been, I've probably been flossing every day for like the last 3 months. Because I just made the decision that I wanted to start doing it. You know what I'm saying? And so it's been one of those things, you know, the same thing when I was doing my little push-up challenge, which people really hated on me on Instagram because they was tired of me doing push-ups, but
I loved it.
I was doing my little push-up challenge, but that was for me. You know what I'm saying? And what really started it was every time I couldn't do push-ups. And so the very first day that I did it, somebody actually challenged me to do push-ups, and it was like a 21 push-up challenge. And I was like, bitch, you ain't gonna get 21 push-ups out of me. You're gonna be lucky if you get 5. And I literally pushed myself to do 10. And so the videos that I was posting was literally me muscling through 10 push-ups a day. And then I got to 15. And then although I didn't record all of the push-ups I did in a day, I literally was holding myself doing like 100 push-ups a day. And this was in the midst of the pandemic. Now, all of this shit has gone to hell now. I ain't got no push-up. I do whatever the fuck I want to. I've been playing tennis, so that's been helping me tremendously. But in terms of the push-ups, I haven't really been doing those actively. But I was really hard on myself about, oh, I didn't do my 15 push-ups today. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah. I've broken my stride. I've broken my streak. I'm really big on streaks. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why New Year, New Me works for me, because that's my personality type. I've really been trying to unlearn, untrain that way of thinking, because it just isn't healthy. It doesn't matter if you did it Monday and you didn't do it Tuesday. You can do it Wednesday. It still has the same impact.
When you did that push-up challenge, for the listeners, that wasn't January 1st when you started that challenge.
No, it was in the midst of the pandemic.
It was dead in the middle of the year. My thing, and further proves this point of whatever day you want to decide to do something, start the shit tomorrow. Like whoever is listening to this, if it's something like you've been wanting to try, try it. Try it for the day. That's it. Like, and I think that we don't honor ourselves enough and our commitment to things enough because we think that it has to be for 10 days. And it's like, if it's something I want to do, okay, let me try this today. I am not a morning person. I'm not a morning person. But one of the things that I do sometime is I challenge myself, like, yo, not every day this week I'm going to the gym at 6 a.m. But I'll get a thought, I'll get an inclination. It's like, yo, you have a lot of meetings tomorrow. You have a lot going on tomorrow. Gary, get up at 6 and go to the gym. Not Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, I'm going to do this. Like,
today. Get up today and go to the gym.
This is what I'm going to do today. And after I do it today, I'm like, damn, I feel really good that day. And so what that does, Phil, it doesn't make me say I'm going tomorrow at 6 a.m., but it does say, like, you can do that. You are capable of getting up and accomplishing that goal. And that makes me feel good. So I'm like, okay. Like, we can do this. I just wish we would be more intentional about our daily activities and daily routine. And I think it would help us just structure this shit out more, because life is vague enough.
Do you think life is vague?
especially the past 2 years, if it's taught us nothing, we don't know really what tomorrow is. I think all of those old school, like, church adages that we learned, like, growing up, are now coming, like, to fruition in a very, like, a weird way. But
I don't know about tomorrow. I really
don't know about tomorrow. So all that we can really do is focus on today. And that's what when I made that video, because it was about me. Like, I needed to focus on today.
Yeah.
Someone's asking me, you know, you're dating someone. It's like, could that be your husband? Girl, I don't even know if I'm gonna have this job by the end of the week. Like, and you asking me, what I can do is I can enjoy them in this moment.
Oh boy.
And move on. And so, but I used to be a real visionary in that way. Like,
that is also very Pisces of you, though.
It is very Pisces. and so Steven always says, you really are good at eliminating shit. Like, yes, I am good at, like, saying, we can put that off. I need to deal with this, like, right now. And so I'm really good at it, because I feel like it gives me, like, I don't ever want to feel like life already has a lot of pressure anyway, Phil, and you know this. Life just naturally comes with pressure. So the more that I can eliminate or somehow minimize, I just try to do that shit so I can focus on when the big stuff.
Right. So you're more ready.
Yeah.
Because we're never really ready, but you're more ready for whatever comes, right? Yeah.
I don't think we're ever ready.
You know what? I don't know. I don't think it's so funny. I have a friend, Steve and I actually have friends. All our friends are mutual with this. All my friends from Morehouse for the most part. So at Morehouse and Spelman, I got a couple of friends from, like, back home in Detroit that I was in, like, high school with, or, like, people that I was in Mosaic with. But most of my friends are, you know, people I went to Morehouse with. Yeah. And so we have a mutual friend, and they are expecting a child. And I texted them and said, you know, are you guys ready? And it was like, no. And we've just decided that we ain't gonna be ready. And when she get here, she'll be here, and that's it. You know, and I laugh about it, but it's such a real response that we have a kid because they have a daughter already, and, you know, they've done all that they can do to prepare, but they've accepted the fact that there's a kid coming and we don't really know what the fuck's gonna happen, you know. And that's okay. That would drive me up the goddamn wall, me personally. But, you know, and I think that that's the thing, is that, you know, I'm a being a Virgo, me personally, I don't know about other Virgos, but it's always about this, things have to be in a certain way, you know? So it's like, my whole thing now is like, by 40, I have to have a plan for a child because I want children.
Yeah.
And so it's either I'm going to have a kid with a partner, I'm going to have a kid mm-hmm. by myself. You know what I'm saying? Which is all, I have a house now. I'm working on trying to figure out my income, you know, increasing my income as much as I possibly can because I know kids are expensive as shit. I can barely afford this kid over here, me by myself. to invite another kid. But my thing is that I'm at that point where it's like, it really is this whole, I have this vision of I'm gonna be old ass parent. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is like, I gotta have a kid. I'm already behind the curve. Like, I should have had a kid in my 30s, but I didn't have a kid in my 30s. So I need to have a kid at 40, because when that nigga is 20, or that nigga lit, because I want a girl, it doesn't matter which one comes, but whatever healthy baby the Lord blesses me with, whenever that nigga arrives at age 20, I'm already 60. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm counting down. In my mind, unlike a Pisces, I'm like, so they're gonna be at 20, I'm gonna be 60.
Oh my
God. What about my grandchildren? You know, that's the way I think. It's like, I don't wanna just raise a kid, but I wanna see that kid. I wanna have the same opportunity like my parents have to see me as a 36, almost 37 year old man navigating life. I want to be able to see my kid navigate life, and I want to be there for them, and I want to be there for their grandkids. It's like, the older I get, because everybody's like, oh, but you a man, you can have a kid anytime. It's like, who the fuck wants to be 70 years old with a 14 year old? Like, whose idea was that? Like,
people think because you're gay that it's very neat. It's baby, still listen, not as neat that it's, way.
As a matter of fact, it is less neat. The stitches don't match. It's like buying irregular clothes at TJ Maxx. That's what it's like being gay. If you were wondering, if you had any doubts in your mind, that's what it's like. It's like buying irregular clothes at secondhand shops because the things just don't match. And people are like, just live with it, go with the flow. It's like, no, I don't want to be an old. Like, I mean, things happen. Like, I'm already 36 and I feel like my body fucking falling apart. So it's like, you know, it's like, I don't want to be a situation where, and I know that as you get older, things just naturally, like, you know, things that shouldn't creak. And so like, I want to be able to enjoy, and I want to be active. And that's part of the reason, honestly, everything that I do with an intention for way off. You know what I'm saying? So like, I love playing tennis. Tennis is a lot of fun, but in my mind, I'm like, you know, you're not going to the gym because you have started and canceled more gym memberships than anybody else, you know. So I know that that's not something I'm going to actively do, but I really do enjoy tennis and the cardio of tennis, you know. And it's helped me. Like, I went to a doctor today and I didn't gain any weight. I didn't lose any weight, but I gained any weight. I'm literally the same weight I was 3 months ago. And so for me, that's a solid, you know what I'm saying? Because I haven't necessarily been very intentional about this or that. Like, I did say in 2022 that this is a new year, new me moment. Sorry, people. But I was like, I'm going to cook more, you know, because I have a house and a kitchen. So what's the point of going to Wendy's? I love Wendy's, but what's the point of going to Wendy's if I have a house and a kitchen, you know? So far, every week this year, I've cooked something, you know, I got food in the house, and I'm not putting any pressure on myself, but it was like, I just want to do better, you know. And it ain't about eating healthy, because I done made fat ass shit like lasagna and chicken and steak teriyaki stir fry. What is stir fry? This is the bourbon talking. I've had steak teriyaki stir fry. I've had, you know, what else did I make? I made white chicken chili. So I've done different things, but it was just about getting in the kitchen and figuring shit out, because I don't like cooking. It's not, I really need to marry a man who likes to cook, or a man that likes to buy dinner. Either one.
Either one works.
Either one works. A man who cooks or a man that buys. I will take either. But it's just about being in the house, like with a whole full ass kitchen and not using it. So I just wanted to do better by myself in that regard. But, you know, I started this podcast, honestly, the core of this podcast was, I really wished it was something like this for me when I was in my early 20s trying to navigate life. I really wish that there was a voice that I could hear that'd be like, nigga, it's gonna be all right. It ain't perfect. They ain't got a bow on it, but it's gonna be cool. And so, you know, every opportunity, that's why I do it, even when it stresses me out, mainly because I'm a Virgo, not because it's a stressful thing. It's just that when you are Virgo, everything stresses you out, especially when it's not perfection.
Yep.
But even when it stresses me out, I know that I'm doing the work that I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Even if it's a situation where I never become famous and I quit my job, because in an ideal world, if I could just do this every day, this would be great. I absolutely would, because I want, you know, it reminds me, you know, people, I joke all the time because people are always like, you know, money can't buy you everything. Money can't buy me. I was like, I never heard nobody rich say that bullshit. Just broke people tell me about what money can't do. But the reality of the situation, and if it didn't hit home for me until now, is Regina King just lost her son, Ian, to suicide.
Yeah.
And I'm not an extremely emotional person, especially when it comes to death. I'm one of those people who's like, you know, death happens. And I think that experiencing death at a very early age is what kind of got me in that mode. Like, I just know that it happens,
right?
You know, the first death I remember is my grandfather at 5, and I remember it very vividly, to the point where I remember what people were wearing that day, and I was 5. Wow. So for me, you know, death is just that natural progression of life. Like, it's gonna happen. You prepare for it or you don't prepare for it. But even though I didn't know Ian, I didn't follow Ian or his work. I know he was an artist.
Mm-hmm.
His death, I was literally in my bed like, I hope this isn't true.
Yeah.
I hope this isn't true. And I think it's because I've seen too many young Black men succumb to the pressures of life, or the pressures of the world, or the pressures of their family, or the pressures of the church, or whatever the pressures that exist, that find themselves in that place. Like 26, like, you know, I didn't have anything figured out at 26. That's why the fuck I was in therapy, thinking that I need to have it all figured out by the time I was 30. And to think about a 26-year-old man, because at 36, almost 37, I can say a young man just, you know, he got to a place where he was like, this is my only solution. And that bothers me.
Yeah.
That troubles me. Yeah. And there are men younger than him. You know, there are high school age children, there are middle school age children, and unfortunately there are elementary school age children.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, my focus is Black folks, Black men, especially those who are queer, but, you know, specifically those young boys that find themselves in a situation like, no matter what was going on in my life at 12 years old, suicide was not necessarily something at the top of my mind. Yeah. And so it troubles me that a 12-year-old has literally sat down and weighed their options.
Yeah.
And the option that they choose is, the world would be a better place without me, or I would be in a better place if I wasn't here.
Yeah.
And that's why I do what I do.
Yeah.
And that's why I have these conversations, because I don't know if any of those people are listening, but that's the target. I love that my friends listen. I love that they support, but my target is that young Black boy or even Black girl who is just trying to figure this shit out and feeling less than or insignificant. And hopefully by some grand design, they come across this podcast and they listen to somebody whose voice is high.
Yeah, yes.
You know what I'm saying? It fits all the stereotypes of what a queer boy should be. And they say, oh, but I could be 37 and I could be 30 and I could do those same things. And that's the focus. And really the reason why I wanted to talk about, you know, life as a nigga is already full of pressure. So relieve yourself of the pressure of a new year, because that's the least of our worries.
I'm glad that you said that, and I think, first of all, I'm proud of you for starting the podcast, and I think it's necessary. I think, you know, we're always trying to make we always talk about world impact and world change, but one of the things that I've learned is that your circle of influence is a world of its own. It needs to be changed and influenced. And we always talk about whether you're reaching 5 million people The 2,000 people who follow me, the 500 who may engage, that's my world of influence. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's important that I'm proud of you for taking that responsibility and using your voice and sharing it with people who need to hear it. And especially with this kind of topic, because, you know, praying for Regina King and, you know, and her family, we need to be more visible to each other, and we need to communicate better with each other about whatever we're going through, because I think it's important. And we don't know the pressure that that young man was dealing with, but I know that we all have pressures. I know that we all need to, you know, to talk to somebody about it. And so I'm just proud of you for creating this opportunity and space, not only for you, but for other people, even if it's just one person. Like, it's dope that they can hear, like, yo, you are okay where you are in your process. And so, yeah, I'm really proud of you for doing that. And I think that it's important work.
Well, thank you for being a part of the journey from the ground, literally from the ground. I have to give you credit. I have to give credit where credit is due. And thank you so much for taking time out to sit with me and to talk with me and our fellow co-hosts, because everybody's a co-host. I don't really have an audience. I have co-hosts. That's what I look at it. The only difference is I actually saw that from Wendy Williams. I'm not original by any means.
No, Wendy, but I love that.
Wendy Williams always says that, you know, her audience, air quotes, because y'all can't see it. I put air quotes like it. People like this is a vlog, but air quotes, her audience are her co-hosts. Like, they inform the show, like, yeah, you know, that type of deal. And so that's the reason why I do what I do. Like, I've always said that I feel like life is, I feel like I don't play video games because I'm not that boy. I should have, because I probably could have called some more boy. No, that's a story for another day. But I don't play video games, but I do feel like life, in a sense, patterns a video game. There's the beginning stage, there's an intermediate stage, and there's the expert stage. And I feel like that, you know, we help each other when we have moved on to a different stage or a different level of a particular part of our lives, mm-hmm. you know? So for some people, that's identity. Some people identify, they are very comfortable in their identity, but that comes in stages, you know? Yep. There's a difference between somebody who's trying to figure out who they are at the very basic level, as opposed to somebody who's an expert at knowing who the fuck they are.
Absolutely, yep.
And I feel like the person who's at the expert level can reach down and pull that person up who's at the beginner level and be like, you know, it gets better. Live your life, do your thing, or whatever the case is. And so that's another reason why I think that this platform is important. And if, you know, as the Walls Group says, if it never brings me money or fame, you know, I'm satisfied. I really am satisfied with the podcast and the work that I've been doing and the opportunities that that it's creating for me. Because I've been, you know, I've been a guest on a couple of things, you know, because people you know, you're all right. And it's good to invite somebody else into the multiverse. I only say multiverse because I've been watching a lot of Marvel movies lately. So it's good to invite somebody else into the multiverse so that people can get acquainted with them. Gary, thank you so much for taking time out to chat with me. I want the people to know this was like our own happy hour. Gary does not live in Atlanta, and so we are doing this virtually, and we both have our little cocktails, because this is what life would be like if we was not on the podcast. So we got a little cocktails to kind of get us through. It's our little it's our Monday wind down from work.
Yep.
Our little decompression, and I couldn't think of a person I would be happier to spend this time with. So thank you so much for your sacrifice and for your insight and helping the people out, and I appreciate it.
You are welcome. Thank y'all for listening.
Thank you for listening. So, you know, I say this all the time. It's a shameless plug. I'm on multiple different platforms. Most of the people I know either listen to me on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts, a few other places that you listen to me, but continue to listen, continue to support, continue to share, continue to like, you know, send me feedback, what you like, what you don't like, because all of that's important to me.
Yeah.
And I love y'all for real. Peace.
Love y'all.